for anyone that's listening, if you don't have a daily practice of gratitude, it can feel awkward at times. Like if you're over the age of 7, it means you haven't been doing it. So like you get into a normal rut and you might not know, you know, your brain might not automatically go there. That's fine. You're at the starting stages. But I can tell you, you eventually get to a place where like now, you know, I've had my car broken into and I've had, you know, 2 weeks ago, I got surgery. I had a sports injury and I actually had to go, you know, I had to go under the knife. I had two hernias that I needed to get fixed. And in that moment, it's like, oh, I got to take care of this thing. I got to pay thousands of dollars to get this thing. And why is insurance annoying and blah. And I was getting in my head. And then the truth is like, I'm going in and I'm filling out the paperwork for the surgery. And there's like, have you had this? And have you had this? And have you had that? And I'm like, no, no, no. And you're just like, man, there's so many things that can go wrong with the human body. And this is the worst thing I'm getting. Like, what? How lucky am I? Like, there's people that never, you know, I'm 32 years old. There's people that never make it to 32 years old.
This episode is supported by Laura Lemon's Mosaic Weighted Blankets. Here's what a verified customer had to say about the Mosaic Weighted Blankets. This weighted blanket is phenomenal. It relieves my anxiety, has helped me sleep, and has eased my migraines and restless leg syndrome. If you want better sleep and less anxiety, click on the link in the description.
Welcome to the Gratitude Podcast on www.georgeandbenta.com, where you'll hear a new story each week that will inspire more gratitude in your own life. Our mission is to inspire 100,000 people to discover how to feel gratitude and live a happy life through the amazing life stories of our successful guests and their actionable tips. And now, the host of our podcast, Georgian Benta.
Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to this episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Today with me, I have a fellow that has Romanian roots, even though he is, I think by now, he's like 99% American, but he does have Romanian roots, and it's quite amazing that we got to meet through this, actually by being on the same wavelength of gratitude. Philip Andrew is an Emmy-nominated TV producer, a world-traveling DJ and MC, a media and life coach, an author, and a speaker. He says about himself, and it's the way that he looks at the world through being unapologetically positive and overflowing with gratitude. And I really love that. And I'm really curious for Andrew to actually let us know more about this part and how he got to this statement.
Philip? Yeah, well, yeah, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. And yeah, you know, I love the 99% American, but that 1%, man, I'm excited about it. You know, it's, you know, I feel very, you know, my father's side is Romanian. And I've come to learn a little bit more, and I got a chance to visit, you know, in 2017, and I got a chance to go and kind of do some of the retracing of the roots. And, so this is just so exciting to be able to be, you know, in, you know, not even just different time zones, but different, you know, different parts of the world, and be able to kind of just communicate and talk. And like you said, share, you know, human interaction, human contact, all based on the power of gratitude and using gratitude. And, you know, I think using gratitude as a tool in our lives to really help ourselves transform the way that we think and the way that we show up for other people. So, man, I'm excited to be here, man. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. My pleasure. I'm really excited. And I think it's quite amazing that we got to meet through this way of seeing the world, like through gratitude. But let us know a little bit about your statement, being unapologetically positive and overflowing with gratitude. How did you come up with this?
Definitely. So, you know, I wish I could say that it just like came to me, but no one, you know, I was sitting and I was thinking, you know, I had a time where I was starting to get really, I wanted to get really deliberate and intentional about how I lived my life. You know, I wanted to make a decision on who I wanted to be. You know, like, you know, the old, they say the old thing of like, take it to you. And trust me, I won't get too dark, but it's like, take it to your funeral. Like, think about to that moment at the end when it's all over and people are there and they're talking about you, and not in a way of being codependent towards what, you know, needing to be everyone's approval, but, you know, genuinely, how would I want people to describe me? Like, how, when people stop and they think about, you know, the way that they felt about me, their impact, what is the real value that I would want to provide, or who do I want to be? And I thought, I was like, you know, if at the end of my days and somebody goes, you know what, man, Philip Andrew was such a great TV producer, that would be such a failure in my eyes. You know, like, I feel like there's so much more, you know, I want to be remembered for the way that, you know, I impact people, the way that other people, you know, the way I made people feel, the way that I meet, you know, that how, you know, when I want someone to say, you know, anytime I was around Phil, I always knew I was really genuinely being heard. I always knew that he genuinely cared about what was going on in my life. And so I sat and I did that kind of that, the cemetery test, the funeral test. And I wanted to get really deliberate about what were the things that are most important to me, and how do I want to walk that out on a daily basis. And so as I did that, I mean, gratitude and service are kind of like the two pillars for my life, like wanting to be there, support others, serve other people, and be gratitude for all the moments of life. And, you know, I have a friend there that I picked this up from, and he said, you know, be grateful, you know, be grateful for the things that you want to be, that you want to complain about. And I think that, you know, I loved, there's part of me deep down that, like, I love to complain. I want to be a victim. I want to be entitled. I want everything to go exactly the way that I want it for my sake, you know? But when I started to learn how to take every moment and be grateful for it, and here's the thing, I saw the benefits of it. Like, I genuinely saw, like, I could tell the difference in when I was doing gratitude lists and when I wasn't. You know, I could tell the difference when I would write down five things I was grateful for and I would read them out loud, in the way I would feel. It wasn't, you know, like, anyone that ever works, if you work in a job where you do sales, you know that, like, you got to make a lot of calls and you don't necessarily know right away if it's working. And, you know, if you go to the gym, and you're working out and, like, you might not be seeing the results right away. With gratitude, it was like, boom, I see the results today. You know, like, when I make the decision to, like, be grateful for moments and then I really think about them, I'm happy in that moment. It's immediate. And so I knew that gratitude was something that I needed to make an absolute pillar. And so when I came up with that, you know, that unapologetically positive and, you know, in overwhelmingly or in immensely gratitude, you know, having, you know, that much gratitude, it made so much sense, because it was like, you know what? I know for me to be the best that I can be for myself and for others, that needs to be so important. And that was why I was like, it's unapologetic. I cannot make my positivity or my way of thinking, I cannot dumb it down. I cannot dampen it. I cannot, you know, so to speak, like, you know, dim the light. Like, I need to, because I need that for me to be the best, for me to be the best for others. I need to be unapologetic about that. And I need to just give gratitude all of the time and feel it, because I know that is the best way that I have learned to do this thing called life. And so that's kind of where it came. And I knew how important it was. And that's why it's the absolute, those are like the first words that come out of my mouth every single day. Cause I do that every morning. So
that's amazing. That's amazing. And it's a beautiful way of choosing to live life, because we have so many choices to make. Like you said, you could have chosen to complain and to be the victim and to stay there, but choosing something different actually changes the experience we have of life, because this is what happens each and every day, and we see the results, like, really fast. And and it's, in my experience, it's really helpful. Like you said, like, when you go to the gym, or if you're in sales, or if you're doing things that take more time. It's awesome to have a practice, a gratitude practice, to see the progress, because otherwise it's really hard to keep on track when it takes a lot.
It's just kind of a fact. Like, this doesn't get taught a lot of places. And I'm sure you see this, your listeners know this, I know this. Like, people in general like to complain, right? Like, what is on the news? It's the negativity. It's what sells. You know, those are the things that get the most amount of attention. So if we are, you know, on your social media feed, if you're watching the news, if you're, you know, if you're pulling up the newest articles, and there's a lot of negativity out there, and it's easy to get wrapped up in it, and it's easy to know, to start to be surrounded with so much negativity and so much lack of gratitude, you know, it's easy to get caught up in it. And so, like what you said, it's so important that you create a daily practice. And like, that's how it started for me. Like, it really, like, I didn't know anything about gratitude. I really didn't. It was some word that I would hear, and it came up on Thanksgiving, and it came up on certain days of the year when people would be, I'm grateful for my family. Okay, cool. But like, I never really understood it. And so I remember I have a very different long backstory, and we could get into it if we need to, but you know, the short version is I had a lot of issues when I was younger. I had a lot of issues with, anxiety and not fitting in and these different things. And that led to me, abusing, substances, alcohol and things. And it led me down a path that was not a good path for me. And I eventually, got arrested a couple of times and got into a lot of trouble, when I was younger, and then got into, sobriety and got clean, got sober, did all of that. But that was really some of my first times getting introduced. And you can hear it. There's fireworks going off. If you hear the banging on my side, that's not the gunshots of LA. Those are just fireworks. but so then it was one of these things where it was my first introduction into this idea of gratitude, and of gratitude being like a pillar for your life. And so when I first started, like, I don't know, like, I didn't really know what it meant. And I had, a friend of mine that was like, hey, we're going to do a gratitude list, and you're going to do it every day. And it's just five items that you can be grateful for. And you're going to write those down, not just think about, you're going to write them down, and then you're going to say them out loud to yourself twice. And I go, okay, I can do that. Whatever. Like, I'll do the work. And at first, I remember trying to be like, you do the big, like, I'm grateful for my family. Okay. And I'm grateful for, for the ability to be alive, or, you think of all these things. And I remember, like, I would judge it. Like, I would judge, what am I being grateful for? And then luckily somebody, the best advice they gave me, they were like, don't judge what you're grateful for. Like, it could be big, it could be small, like, sometimes the things I'm grateful for are extremely superficial. There's times where I'm like, I'm grateful I have hair. I'm grateful that, I'm grateful I didn't have to wake up this morning and go chase down a lion for me to eat today. Like, there's, sometimes it's silly, it's goofy, but at the core of it, on a long enough timeline, I started to practice it every day, every day, every day, every day. That five items was so easy. And then what I learned was that, I didn't need to always have these really big, big ideas that I was so grateful for, and I'm this amazing man of gratitude. Like, it could be sometimes finding gratitude in the smallest of things can be the most powerful. And like I said, I had that friend that, talked about, wanting to be grateful for the things he would complain about. And so I started to really try to own that. So if I would, the times that, my stomach hurts, my stomach is upset, I ate something bad, I ate a bad burrito, and I'm like, oh, my stomach, like, this sucks, this is awful. And then I'm like, you know what, dude, like, be grateful you have a stomach to be in pain. Like, sorry to get graphic, but it's like, be grateful that you have a nice restroom to go to. Like, be grateful that there are, things you can take that can help with an upset stomach, and it really was this practice that it started out. And, for anyone that's listening, if you don't have a daily practice of gratitude, it can feel awkward at times. Like, if you're over the age of 7, it means you haven't been doing it. So like you get into a normal rut and you might not know, you know, your brain might not automatically go there. That's fine. You're at the starting stages. But I can tell you, you eventually get to a place where like now, you know, I've had my car broken into and I've had, you know, 2 weeks ago, I got surgery. I had a sports injury and I actually had to go, you know, I had to go under the knife. I had to get, I had two hernias that I needed to get fixed. And in that moment, it's like, oh, I got to take care of this thing. I got to pay thousands of dollars to get this thing. And why is insurance annoying and blah. And I was getting in my head. And then the truth is like, I'm going in and I'm filling out the paperwork for the surgery. And there's like, have you had this? And have you had this? And have you had that? And I'm like, no, no, no. And you're just like, man, there's so many things that can go wrong with the human body. And this is the worst thing I'm getting. Like, what? How lucky am I? Like, there's people that never, you know, I'm 32 years old. There's people that never make it to 32 years old. You know, and like, I'm at, like, that's amazing. Like, I could be gone. There's so many. And it's like, when you start to think that way, man, it's so freeing. It really is. I'm going to be quiet because I talk so much. I'm going to let you jump in here. Sorry about that, man.
No, no problem. I love your passion. I'm just excited. Yeah, I love your passion. And I think you nailed down some very good points. And by the way, with the age, like I don't know exactly, but a few hundred years ago, you were like really old if you were able to go past your age, you know? Like,
yeah.
Most people were dead at your age. Oh, so
totally.
That's even that
idea, right? Like, you know, I talk with, you know, I'll coach people that are, you know, that are later on in life. You know, the book that I wrote that'll be coming out, it's kind of about ageism, you know, and it's about this idea that, you know, so often people get, you know, later on in life, like everything we've ever been taught is this like, oh, with wisdom, you know, age comes wisdom and it blah, blah, blah. But we're now in a time where a lot of people have bosses that are younger than them. It can be difficult to, you know, when you've been taught this, the ageism of our societies, then all of a sudden, if you've got a boss that's 10 years younger than you, it can be a little weird. Or sometimes people get later on into their career and maybe, you know, maybe you hit 40, 45, 50, 55, and maybe your career hasn't turned out the exact way, or you feel like, you know, you look at a lot of companies, you look at your company and you're like, man, like the company's getting younger and like a lot of the jobs are going younger and like people can feel out of place. But the truth is we all are in the same 24 hours, like flat out, like none of this thing called life is a guarantee. It's all a gift. You know, every day that we wake up is an absolute gift. And it's like someone that is 45 can either look at it like, oh man, my best days are behind me. I'm not youthful anymore. These young, you know, they're giving all these jobs to the young guys. Well, or you can understand that, you know, you might be looking down on a, you know, if you're 45 and you're looking at a 30-year-old kid and you're like, man, what it would be like to be 30 again. He's so lucky. He's got his whole life ahead of him. Like, you have no idea if that 30-year-old is going to make it to 45. You don't. Like, things happen. And the fact that you're at 45, you've had this life, like, you still have it. If you are breathing, you have an opportunity to do amazing things in this life. And you have such a, you know, a lot of it comes down to that choice, making the passion, finding the things that are going to work that help you get in the right mindset of, you know, just you look at a 30-year-old, you think he has your whole life ahead of him. So does an 85-year-old. An 85-year-old has their, because we all only have today. We all only have 24 hours. You know, if that, might not even get to that. You don't know. And so it's like you take every opportunity. And that, you know, for me, that's one of the big things, you know, part of my morning routine is just having, you know, not only being grateful for things, but just thinking, you know, some people it's a God, some people it's the universe, whatever people want to look to in a higher power, or if it's not, whatever, you know, whatever you think it all is, I always take a moment to just like, I'm just like, thank you, whatever it is. Thank you for letting me wake up today. Because the truth is, while I was sleeping, I wasn't thinking about breathing. I wasn't thinking about my heart beating. I wasn't thinking about the blood rushing through my, it just happened. It happened. And I don't know how it happened. I mean, it happened. And it's like the fact that you woke up, the fact that we have another day, another opportunity at this thing called life to enjoy, to do our careers, to interact with people, to talk on podcasts. I mean, it's when you start to think that way, you start to be the type of person that sees opportunities and solutions in everything in life instead of the negative and the bad and why it's not going to work. And I don't know, man, it's just a happier life, I think.
This episode is supported by Laura Lemon's Mosaic Weighted Blankets. Here's what a verified customer had to say about the Mosaic Weighted Blankets. I love this blanket. Before I got this blanket, I would toss and turn so violently that I would wake myself up several times throughout the night. I've had my blanket for about 2 weeks now, and I don't wake up at all anymore due to tossing and turning. I was concerned that the blanket would be too hot to sleep with, but it's actually been the opposite. The blanket is made with pockets of beads and stuffing, like you'd find in a Beanie Baby. So the beads move around and shift with gravity, so there actually can be plenty of airflow. But all in all, I love my new blanket. Thank you for a much better and more restful sleep. Sarah M. Visit the link in the description for more information.
Exactly. It's really, really a choice that we have. So we all have problems, and even the most successful and the people that seem to have the most perfect lives, they still have problems.
Yeah.
But what we can do is to make a choice, like to choose to complain, to be a victim, or to be grateful, to find gratitude somehow, and to find the resources to overcome those problems, to look for solutions. And yeah, otherwise it's a never-ending story. Like, problems come up almost every day, and if we just focus on them, we will feel that our life was just full of problems.
Yeah.
But it's really cool that you anticipated one of my questions with what you said a few minutes ago about experiencing gratitude instead of just the concept. Like, it's one of favorite questions to ask, because many people know about gratitude, and it's something that I don't know, most people know about it, but very few have actually understood it and have lived it. And this is what I'm trying to do with the podcast, to help people experience it as much as possible, and of course cultivate the habit of being grateful and appreciating their life.
Yeah, I think it was a switch. Like, you know, like, it definitely was a switch from when it stopped being just a word, you know, just an idea that I heard people talk about, just a nice, you know, moment at the dinner table that you could say with your friends, you know. But it was when it started to genuinely be something that I incorporated in my life all of the time, there really was a shift, you know, and it really was one of those things that it made me, you know, I can tell when I'm not being grateful now. Like, I know it. Like, I can just, I feel like, oh, dude, you're okay. You're not like, oh, poor Phil, huh? You know, like, there's this, you know, these people, there's a saying, and I've heard so many different motivational speakers use it, and I don't know who originated it, but it was this idea of like, do you want to be better or do you want to be bitter? You know, do you want to be bitter all the time, or do you just want to get better? Like, there's a choice. Like, you know, do you want to be the kid, you know, like, there's this, you know, this one, there was a commercial in the United States for, and it might've been other places for a while, but it was, you know, a guy walks into the bathroom, and he walks into the bathroom and the water is running, and the water is just running. And he looks at this water and he's like, oh my gosh, can you believe this? Look at this. How could they just left the water? And then someone walks in and they go, hey, look at this. Can you believe that? The water is run just in both of them. Oh my gosh. The water is just, who would do such a thing? This evil, terrible, a third person walks in. Oh, and they're up in arms. All three of them are talking about how terrible it is. These people, they don't care. They're so insensitive. They just leave this water running. They don't care about the environment. They don't care. And then somebody comes out, somebody walks through, and they walk up and they wash their hands, and then they turn the water off and they leave. And it was so, the solution was so easy. But three people decided to stand around and complain about it instead of doing something about it. And the solution was so easy. The solution sometimes to our problems is easier and will take less time than us sitting around and complaining about it and staying in that moment of negativity, having those, you know, the pity party of one, you know, like me just sitting around complaining about how bad life is. And it's like, no, there's like, I stop as soon as I catch myself, you know, when I get in that mode and I'm like, oh, like, oh, man, why did they say that? Why did they do that? Like, oh, why would she have said it that way? What did that mean? What did, and I'm like, whoa, dude, pump your brakes for a second. Like, what do you need right now? What do you need? You know, I love there's an acronym called HALT, where it's like, you know, whenever you're sitting, it's like, are you hungry? You know, it's like HALT, H-A-L-T. And it's, I think it's like hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. And it's like, are you one of those things? Check yourself. And I stop and I go, you know, and what am I missing? Okay, is this a moment I can get in gratitude? Yeah. What are you complaining about right now? You know what? I'm upset that, you know, this thing, I built this schedule at work and now the schedule's not working. Okay. Do you have a job? Yeah. Is that great? Yeah. That's great that I have a job. Do you get to do what you love to do? Yeah. I love doing what I do. Okay. Can you be happy right now that you have a job? Did you know that there would be difficulties when you took this job? Yeah. I'm sorry. I know that I'm having the conversation with myself the way that it does in my normal life. And I do this with myself and it's like, okay, so you knew that there'd be some hardships and some stuff that would come up, right? Yeah, I did. Okay. So is that all that's happening right now? Yeah, I guess it is. Okay. It's not that big of a deal, is it? No. So what do we do? Let's just be, all right, we have a job. We know what the next things to do is. So let's start doing it. And it's like, I catch myself before I go down that rabbit hole of negativity and sadness and anger and entitlement. And I catch myself quick and I go, get yourself in some gratitude right now and pull yourself out of it. And then you're good. And it's like learning that has made such a difference in my life. And not only in just the way that I feel about myself, in the way that I feel about the world, but in the way that I'm able to interact with other people. And I'm not the guy that goes into a meeting at work that is Mr. Doom and Gloom. Everything is falling apart. I'm the guy that's like, hey, great. Like, how do we fix it? How do we got a problem? Cool. Awesome. How do we get in? And I'm like, how do we fix this? Let's get into it. And that was another reason on a project meeting. I need to be able to, I couldn't dim that energy when it made other people uncomfortable. I couldn't do it. I needed to be that, because sometimes even if people don't want to hear it, and here's the one thing for a lot of, not the one thing, I say that a lot, but, you know, there's going to be people in your life that don't get it flat out. There are people that gratitude will make them uncomfortable. There are people that have been in negativity, that are bitter, that are entitled, that have lived that way for so long that they will not always appreciate when other people are being positive and energetic and enthusiastic and grateful. It says more about how they feel about themselves than it does about you. You know, so if you have someone in your life that's kind of the, like, we call it the Debbie Downer, someone that's always kind of, you know, they always see everything from a neck with a negative tint, you know, someone that maybe is like a one-upper, they try to tear you down. Those people, when they're doing that, it says, like I said, it's more of a reflection of how they feel in their own lives. It's not really about you. And once I realized that, that was when I was like, you know what, like, all I can be is hopefully, like, I need to do this for me so I can be the happiest and loving of life I can be. And all I can hope is that maybe, you know, part of the way I am will attract them to want to be that way. Like, I can't tell someone, you know what, dude, if you walk up to somebody and be like, you need to be more grateful, like, no one is going to get grateful from that, you know? But when somebody sees you living a happy life and enjoy, like, a joyful life, a life of gratitude, when they see that, it's attractive. It's an attractive quality and people resonate with it and they want to be closer to it. You know, when they see someone that's in the middle, you know, it's like we see it with people that are in the middle of, like, you know, medical issues, people that are in the middle of treatments that are positive, or they, you know, someone that's in, that has been extreme, like it has faced extreme injustice and they're positive. And it's crazy because in our head, we're like, why are you not angry? Why don't you hate everything? And we see, because it's such a counter way than what we're used to seeing. There's so much power in gratitude and in what it is when it starts making sense and showing up in your life. Man, I love it. I'm sorry. I know I just get going and I just get riled up, man.
this is amazing. And it's one of the points that you talked about that I feel it's really interesting. And I've been through that experience as well, like being grateful and being positive and having other people not understanding that or feeling uncomfortable with that. And it's cool that you got to this point, because I had that problem. And like you said, I think that's the only solution, basically, to continue to be in that mood, to continue to be grateful and to be an example, and hopefully in time to be able to influence in a positive way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I'll say this. I mean, even and to make a kind of a different comparison with, you know, even my issues that I had with drinking. So when I got sober, when I quit drinking and I had to get, you know, I got into some of my troubles, you know, I was right around, I was like 22, you know, 20. So I've been sober for a little over a decade now. And oh, thank you very much, man. I appreciate it. And it was, I had people early on. You know, we're 22, we're 23. Like everyone's drinking. Hey man, everyone's drinking. You know, like what's wrong? Blah, blah, blah. And there were people that weren't always supportive of it. You know, like to be honest, like in those early stages, there were people that they're like, man, what? Like they just questioned it. They weren't very supportive. And the craziest thing is, you know, not at year one, not at year two, yet not three, but years down the line when I was 28, 29, 30, even now 30, you know, I've had some of those people from my past reach out and have now asked me for advice, for help on getting sober, wanting to know how I did it, what my story was. And it's like sometimes the people that you're meeting the most, that are meeting you with the most resistance, are people that they want it. They just don't. They don't know how, and it can be frustrating for them to see somebody else have it when they want it for themselves. And so that's why it's like I've learned to never internalize any of those things. And like when people, you know, there's a saying, you know, hurt people. And it's like when I see someone that's being very negative, or they're saying mean things either about myself or about a coworker or about a friend, or you know, I try, instead of just seeing the comments at face value in saying, oh, well, why would he say that about me, in making it about me? I think about like, man, I wonder what they're going through that's causing them to behave that way. Like if they're willing to, you know, happy people are too busy being happy to be negative, you know? And so it's like, I'll have those moments where, you know, that was the crazy thing, was having some of those guys that were very resistant and questioned it and were very, you know, weary of the way that I was behaving, to then years later come back and admit, like, you know, I had a friend one time, he admitted to me, he's like, you know what, man, like, because we had kind of lost touch. And he said, you know, I got to be honest. He's like, I stopped talking to you because I hated that you were sober, because I wish I could do it, but I was struggling too much. He's like, and when I would, he's like, and just talking with you was a reminder that I wasn't sober. And it was like, and I felt awful in the moment, because I was like, I never want to alienate somebody and make them, you know, I always want people to feel like they can talk with me and I'm not going to judge them and we're open. But it was one of those things where I had to realize, like, I have zero control. I have zero control over anyone in the world that their name is not Philip Andrew. Only one person in this world I have any control over him, and that's me. And it's like, I can't always, I don't know how every little thing is going to be interpreted. I don't know how everything I say is going to be received. All I can do is be genuinely and authentically me and be the best version of me in hope that it is received well and resonates. But it all comes down to that. And so then that was kind of one of those things where I've just learned that it needs to be, you know, we call it keep your side of the street clean before you try to clean somebody else's. So when you do have those people in your life that are negative, and you, even if you want it for them, you got to let people have their own path, but you can't allow their path to take you off of yours. And, you know, here's the thing. If you're listening to this still, A, number one, hello. B, you know, thank you very much for hanging out. And I hope that if you're still listening, it means you're enjoying it. But just know, like, you obviously care about gratitude. And you're here because you care about this thing and you want to know more. And all I'll say is, like, when you're hitting those moments of resistance, when it feels difficult and you don't want to be grateful, like, push through. Because you know on the other side of it, there's so much joy. There's so much great energy and passion and just love. And there's so many amazing things that come from it. It's such, I don't know, it's such an amazing way to be. And I mean, I'm just grateful that I have learned to understand the power of gratitude.
That's amazing. And I think you actually anticipated one of my questions. And that was, if you could go back in time, like 15 years ago or something like this, mm-hmm. What would you tell your younger self? And I think that would be the answer, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, there's a lot of things I would tell that little kid. He was kind of crazy and wilding out. But no, I think it was really important, you know, for me, because I had a lot of, you know, I just had a lot of struggles like growing up. Like, and the crazy thing is, like, they were all internal. You know, on the outside, I was still doing well in school. I was showing up well in sports. You know, I had friends. Everything on the outside seemed to be okay. You know, deep down, I was dealing with, you know, the normal feelings of being a kid. Am I smart enough, funny enough, attractive enough, cool enough, all those things. You know, when I was in high school, my mother passed away. So I was dealing with a lot of grief from, you know, from that of, you know, my mother passing. I started drinking at kind of a young age and started using it as a coping mechanism to handle some of the fears, insecurities, the guilt, and all of those things. And so I think for me, when I look back at the kid, you know, I didn't feel like I was enough. You know, I didn't feel, you know, and there was a gap between this image of who I was and what you thought I was and how I really felt deep down. And that gap got wider. So even if somebody said, "Hey, Phil, man, you're doing a great job. You're awesome." I didn't really internalize it because to me, I was like, no, you like the version that I'm showing you. If you really knew deep down the thoughts in my head, the way that I feel, if you really knew that guy, you wouldn't think that, you know? And so I think that it was, you know, if I could go back and talk to like the 18-year-old version of me, it would really be like, hey, yeah, I would teach the power of gratitude and what that means. And, you know, don't look at the fact that you lost your mom as this, you know, why me? Why did I lose my mom? Why did this happen to me? But look at it as like, you know, you had 15 great years with her. You know, you had a loving mom and then you had a loving stepmother who walked in you were able to have two amazing moms. You know, you were able to use these experiences to grow stronger with your father. You grew a better relationship with your sister. You know, like there were so many amazing things that came out of the resilience that I had to develop. You know, but I couldn't see that at the time. And so I would teach the gratitude, but also just, you're enough. Like, you're fine. Like, you are loved and it's more of like, you're worthy of love. We're all worthy of love. And it's like, it doesn't matter. Even if you've had, you know, maybe you had a family member that was not that supportive. You know, maybe you had a brother or a sister that, you know, wasn't the brother or sister you wanted them to be. Maybe you've had a friend that's betrayal. Maybe you've been divorced. Maybe you've, you know, there's all these different things that we go through in life that can kind of beat us down a little bit. But those things all start to affect us. And I think that's Los Angeles again. Those are real sirens. That's how it gets down out here. But you know, I think it would be that just like you're loved. You're absolutely loved. And this life it's amazing. Like it is a gift. Like it 100%, like I didn't do anything to be born. I just showed up one day. I just showed up. Like there was no test there. I didn't do anything. I was just given this thing called life. I was given these lungs. I was given this heart. I was given this brain. I was given these eyes. They were just given. And it's like every moment that we have that we're breathing and we're able to be here, like it's such a gift and it's amazing. And like, we're enough. Like that's enough in it. And you don't have to feel any other way. You can be ambitious. Ambition is fine. You know, you're an ambitious guy. I'm an ambitious guy. Your listeners, you're probably ambitious. You have dreams, you have hopes, you have things you want to accomplish, and that's fine, right? Like that's progress. Like that's what we're chasing, progress in life. But it's also that idea that you're enough where you're at. Like you are enough in this moment, and you have the power to be very, very, to show up very powerfully for other people too, not just for yourself, for your own happiness, but to be able to be a rock and be supportive and just be a light for others. Sorry that the sirens are going off. I mean, I don't know why. I apologize. I can't control them, but that's just Los Angeles living. That's living in the city. So,
no problem, man. I love what you just said, and it's so profound, so deep, so powerful. I can tell that you have like an emotional richness, and I really appreciate that, and I really appreciate your openness to share all these things, because it's these stories and these ideas that actually change people's lives, because they can relate. They know that it's true, and it touches people on a really deep level. I know it touched me, and I'm sure that it will touch many people that will be listening to this episode. And I really, this is what I wanted to say. Also, I really enjoy our conversation, but we should head to the end of it. And I wanted to ask you, who in your life are you grateful for? Like, who are the people in your life that made the difference that you would like to mention?
Oh man, I do a whole podcast just on that. But I mean, you know, obviously, you know, the usual suspects pop up, right? Like, you know, my mom, my stepmother, my father, my sister, my close immediate family, the people that have always showed up really powerfully for me, my close friends. I have a really strong, I've developed a very strong unit of guys and, you know, of friends here in Los Angeles that I can rely on. But the one thing I'll say, one of the biggest things that I'm so grateful for is the love and kindness of strangers. And what I mean by that is, you know, for me, I'm a product of, you know, of Alcoholics Anonymous, right? Like I got into AA. That was a big part of what helped me when I was early in sobriety, trying to get sober, trying to, you know, and I think for me, I had lived my life, like I had mentioned earlier, about having that image that I was portraying and then having who I felt deep down. And I felt like I was always being an actor. I was always portraying this image, and I needed you to like that image. You know, I was trying to do that. And I thought I was trying to earn love. I needed to earn it. Like I thought I had to prove myself. And when I got to AA and I met people that were absolute complete strangers who loved for me and cared for me and supported me, that I think that was so game changing, because everyone, you know, for the most part, most of our families are there for us. Like that's, we take that for granted and we should appreciate it, but we take that as a given. But it was like when I experienced the love and the kindness and the servant mindset of strangers, that I think that was one thing that really had a massive, massive impact on me, was understanding that here's a person who does not know me, has no connection with my life. They're not going to see me next Tuesday in class. They're not going to see me at work. Like our interaction could be two ships passing the night. But here's a person that is showing me love and care. And it was like, when I saw that, like I stopped wanting to use people. I stopped seeing people as these enemies. I stopped seeing, oh, you're a different political view, or you're a different race, or a different gender, or you're a different whatever. You're a different country, so you're not as important as me because I'm American and you're Romanian. You know, like I stopped seeing that, and I started to see like, whoa, we're all strangers that can absolutely show up powerfully for each other and love each other. And when I experienced that love, it was monumental. So that's what I'll say. I am so grateful for the love and support of absolute strangers.
Wow. I love that. It's quite amazing. And thinking about the fact that, like you said, total strangers giving you love and being caring. And it's something that's unexpected. Like you wouldn't have thought that that's actually possible. And that broke so many barriers, like you said, like gender or country or race or anything of this nature. And wow, that's really an amazing experience. And I think I can feel your gratitude for that, because it's quite powerful. Yeah, lovely. So we're nearing the end of our time together, and I wanted to ask you, where can our audience find you? Where can they get in touch with you?
Definitely. And yeah, if you guys are still listening, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Like, this has been a lot of fun. Obviously you guys can tell I like to talk. So I love being able to hang out, and thank you for having me on. You guys can find me on social media platforms. It's at Philip Andrew LA, on Twitter, on Instagram. Also you can send, if you guys want to connect, you want to send me an email, you can, I always love to hear, you know, what people are thinking, what your thoughts were, if there's things you agreed with, if there's things that you didn't agree with. I always love to learn from other people. I don't have all the answers. I definitely don't. There's a lot, you know, I love the, you know, true wisdom is knowing you know nothing. So I always love to learn from people. So if you have any comments, I'd love to hear from you. My email is philipandrewla@gmail.com. Always please, you know, reach out. If you're in Southern California, hit me up, let me know. I do have a blog and an audio version of that blog that you can listen, download as a podcast. So, you know, if you go to philipandrew.co, not .com, I couldn't afford the M, but I got the .co. So you can go to philipandrew.co and you can find all my information on there. So thank you so much, man. I really appreciate, you know, you allowing me to come on and getting to connect. And I love, you know, I love talking about gratitude, and I love talking about it with other people that are passionate about gratitude. And just it's monumental importance towards our happiness and just building a better, more grateful, more loving society across, that transcends the borders of our country. So thank you so much, man. I greatly appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, my pleasure. It was really amazing, and I really loved so many of the points that you went into, because like you really anticipated some of my questions and it flowed beautifully. So I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Hey man, thank you so much. Let me know if you ever need me back. I'll have more gratitude to share.
Perfect.
But before we go, I want to tell you why I chose Mosaic Weighted Blankets as a sponsor. Living a happy life has a lot to do with being well rested. And Laura, the CEO of Mosaic Weighted Blankets, has solutions for each age group and the best reviews out there. Just check them out. You can find them at bit.ly/mosaicweighted, or you can click on the link in the description. Again, thank you so much for choosing to spend this time with me, and I really hope it was time you enjoyed spending. Best wishes, and don't forget to keep seeking gratitude.